I sold my car on Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Nobody pray for me. It been a day for me. Yeah.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Billy D joining us in the studio as we welcome in Billy D. Washington, my good acquaintance, who will be here from 3 to 4. We're going to have him stick it out the whole show. His good buddy Barry Laminack to my right.
You and I are going to visit some retirement homes together.
No doubt. So you know. I will happy to push the wheelchair. That's right. Quick Nick is in the studio, as always. And
what
yours
up?
Truly, Joel Blank. We got 1 hour left to go on the show, boys. Before we get to any more of the jocularity, we missed last week, but we missed a lot last week. So we're going to let it all slide because we even did way back Wednesday on Thursday.
Yeah. Not
so,
good.
No.
Not
and there good. Was one other one, but I know that. Oh, Trey. Movie Moments with Trey.
That was this week we missed.
Oh, good. So we're going 2 for 2. All right. So without further ado, let's not skip another of the big three with JB. Let's get these out of the way. And I think you guys have a little bit of an idea that for at least this one more week, the topic subject will be your Houston Rockets.
This is the big three with JB. Take one.
Breathe, Houston. Just breathe. I said all season long, enjoy the ride. Be happy it happened. Understand that regular season was fantastic. James Harden had an MVP caliber year. You guys won a whole lot more games than you ever thought you were going to. And the playoffs are a different animal. So regardless of how the playoff outcome came out, and if you were happy, sad, and you want to really punch number 13 or not, go back and look when you have a time to just step back and say, that was one heck of a good run in the regular season. They did a lot of positive things, and there's hope for the future. You could be, and I can't say the Milwaukee Bucks anymore as much as I'd like to, but you could be some of the teams that are just hoping to sniff the playoffs. Instead, you had the third best record in the NBA. So as bad as it seems right now, when you have a chance to go back and look, it'll all be okay, and hopefully next year you'll be in a position to do something even better.
Take two.
At this point, you guys are all worried. Did he choke? Did he quit? What's going on with our best player? It doesn't matter, because you know what? It's over. There's a reason why the rearview mirror is small and the windshield is very big. Regardless of what happened with James Harden, he's still your best player. He's still going to be your best player. And based on what he's making for the next 3 to 4 years, he's going to continue to be on your roster. He's making 26.5, 28.2, 30.4, and 32.7 through 2021. I don't know how he's going anywhere. And I don't know how you're going to get anyone to take him. Yes, he's a talent. Yes, he's had his playoff faux pas. But yes, he is yours for the foreseeable future. That means, hopefully, James is going to have some time to reevaluate. He'll stay away from the Kardashians. He'll find his way to the gym. And maybe he'll refocus his energy to play both ends of the floor. If he does those things, I fully expect that next year he will have another MVP caliber season. That's because he's a guy that needs external motivation. And when he gets it, he's proven he plays at a very high level, at least for the regular season.
Take three.
So Daryl Morey and crew said the season wasn't a success unless they made it to the Final Four, and they didn't do that, but I would disagree. It was a success because of the fact that they had the regular season we talked about, because of the fact that they took the Spurs to 6 games. No, it didn't end right. Yes, it looks right now like it's a bad deal, but here's the thing. Start focusing now on the things you need to be a better team. That means from Mike D'Antoni's perspective, you cannot be all offense and all in. You have to focus on the defense and get some players that can play some D. You have to resign Nene, and you have to get some help for James Harden. He's made that evident. We've seen why, and now we have to back him up. The fact that he's not going anywhere means you've got to help him and get him some help around him that can possibly turn this thing around, and that starts on the defensive end.
That was the Big Three with JB.
So there's that.
Good work.
Well, I'll tell you what.
That was great, man.
If I had a chance to script that, that would have been even better. But I'm glad we got it done.
Well, at least you know, you put in the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was strong, too. I still miss the rhyming, though. You don't know that anymore?
I love, you know what, from time to time, these guys will give grief about it because it'll rear its head up just out of nowhere.
The Spurs took us down under, but we still beat the Thunder.
That's right. There's not only bad. One person in this city that really didn't like it, and that's Josh Ennis, and there's so much that people don't like about him that I'm okay with it.
Because, he said something about it? Wait, don't bury the lead.
I told you this before. Like, he got into it with some of the Red Rowdies, like Maya and all those callers that used to be, you know, staples of every postgame show.
Yeah.
He got to the point where they were calling in saying, don't you ever bust on our boy Joel, and don't you ever bust on that rhyming. And he said, you know, no, we're boys, but he knows I don't like rhyming. Well, we never had the conversation, but at the same time, I told Nick, you know, if we're not hanging out on a daily basis and we're not talking on the phone, you know, and we're not Facebook buddies,
yeah,
then we're just acquaintances.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
beef.
And it was comfort food too, Joel. It was comfort food. I mean, you just look forward to that thing, that rhythm, that sort of pentameter that would occur every time you'd
go into.
What's
funny is I'd walk down the hallway the next day at work.
Four syllable word, nothing. But go ahead.
No, seriously, I would walk.
I'm Googling it right now. What are you talking about?
I would walk down the hallway and I'd be in a meeting with the radio station. They'd be like, God, we love the studio stuff. We love the rhyming thing. Where'd that rhyming thing come from? I said, you know, everybody has their kind of their thing. Berman had the nicknames and Stu Scott had his way of kind of hipping it up. And that was my thing. That was my shtick.
Right.
But then you'd get the young kids, the marketing associates, and they'd go, love your rhyme and flow, bro. Love your rhyme and flow.
Did they actually tell you that, Joel?
They did.
Really?
Yeah, and for a second there, I had to stop and go.
He's like, did they?
No.
I don't think
that's
they
just
did.
the farthest thing from what I
now
knew.
How old were these interns, Mr. Blank?
They were part-time paid employees, but they were probably in their early, like late teens,
40s,
early 20s.
50s.
No, but like they're bringing that up, and I'm going.
I love when you do the skibbity bibbity bebop.
Yeah.
I love that jazz riff you do, man.
I didn't even miggity miggity mack wiggity wiggity whack. I was just,
wow.
You know,
okay.
Just,
you know, that may be my cue. I may have to. That was my Ernest Borgnine moment. I got to go now.
Yeah.
By the way, how do you spell that? Because I only found pantomime on the dictionary.
No, I don't know how to spell it. I just heard it once. Outside of its context. I was going to ask you guys, what do you guys think about? This is a brand new offense. It's not about, I don't know why anybody doesn't do this. If your caller wants to call in, call me stupid. You want to do what you want to do on Twitter. It's happened before. But whatever happened to the old school snowbird offense? You know, it's like the snowbird offense where there are five players and then like you send one.
One
all
takes
way,
off.
One takes off, goes down, and you have four players playing defense. But if they score, you just throw it down. If they don't score, you take a chance on getting the rebound. Your percentages are less to get the rebound.
Uh-huh.
But if you do get it.
If you want to technically break it down, the guy whose man shot was the guy that shot down to the other end to snowbird.
Right.
And then it was the one-handed outlet pass. And you were getting easy points off a transition.
Whatever happened to that?
I don't know.
The Rockets use it on periodically when James quits on a play.
Yeah, but that's true.
Yeah, but that's the other way.
He does it in advance, though. I think it's supposed to happen when everyone's down there. He never gets down there.
Right.
So technically, he never leaves. Yeah, he is that dude that just hangs back.
But you're kind of going to have to recreate the game in some fashion in order to beat the people that are the headliners right now, the lead singers right now, because you just can't do it playing their game.
It's an interesting point because you think about it. And we had Mikhail on earlier. We've talked to him several times before. It used to be a big man's league. It used to be a half-court game, and all the points were scored in the paint. And now it's the exact opposite. It's inside out. Everything runs off the perimeter. The Rockets have personified what it means to do nothing but shoot from behind the arc.
Right.
And Golden State has made it sexy.
Right.
You know?
Well, and it's, you know, every league is a copycat league. And if you're not the innovators, then you're just basically playing catch up, which is, I think, what happened to the Rockets. I think they liked that style and they wanted to do that, but that's not how Kevin McHale coaches. That's not how some of these other guys do. And I think that they've just gone out to the, well, we'll just go outscore Golden State. But the problem is you couldn't beat the Spurs. So it tells you something about having some balance. I mean, it really is. And I know I talked about that earlier, but this team is too tilted one way. And if their shot's not falling, and said it the whole time, if their shot's not falling, they're done.
And that's the thing that everybody said from the beginning, from Barkley, all the analysts, they're like, you know, they can be something special. Nobody predicted that they can win the championship. Right. Be something special. But if that shot isn't, if that shot isn't falling, it's going to be ugly. And we saw the worst case scenario last night.
And when you say balance, that's two different perspectives. That's offense and defense. And then from an offense perspective, that's having more than one thing in your holster, one thing in your repertoire.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and again, whether you're, there's going to be some nights whether maybe your three is on, but at a certain point, they're going to have perimeter defense and they're just going to completely focus on that. You're going to have to find a way to invert the offense and then go back inside and go, hey, I got a guy, even Demo. Demo was great. And Mikhail brought this up in a break today. He goes, remember how many times when we played the Spurs, and they thought we were going to be this up-and-down team, and we suddenly would go down to Demo on the post for like one or two possessions, he'd get you a bucket. Sometimes that's all you need to keep a defense honest. But the everybody knows what to expect every time the Rockets take the floor.
That's a great point. That's a really good point, yeah.
Yeah, you need something that stops the bleeding.
Right.
They didn't do that. They just didn't do that. I mean, supposedly it was the pick and roll, but...
No, and they also need something that has to be feared. Not maybe as much as the three-point shot,
yeah,
but at least the teams have to focus on when they're doing film sessions and shoot-arounds, because otherwise you can scheme for this team very easily, and then you just realize real quick, if their three's not on, you're going to have a really good night.
Yeah.
All right, so we got plenty more show to get to. It's time for us to step away one another time, and then we'll come back with much more. We are the Usual Suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We got those three, and we got our special guest, Billy D. Washington, in the studio with us up until we close this thing out for the week at 4 o'clock. And sometimes, as we told you, we used to say we just want the cameras in here so people could see what happened during breaks, but that's probably not a good idea because there's other stuff that goes on.
Yeah, Joel takes his shirt off and starts running.
And I was about to hump that bear before we started.
And we'd have to warn you how many people have been there before you.
Really? Oh, yeah. Before. Wow. Yeah. Nasty.
And you can't clean a bear.
You know what? Nice flow, bro.
Thank you.
I was gonna tell you guys something. You know what? You know who I don't like right now?
Uh-oh.
I don't like that Houston Rocket fan who hasn't been down from the beginning. There's been no evidence of them having any opinion whatsoever about the Rockets. Now, all of a sudden, they're like the Rockets hater. Mm-hmm. Oh, I knew they weren't going to win anything. You don't even know. Can you even spell Rocket? You know?
That's such a typical Houston fan
thing. Oh, man. I mean, I'm online. I mean, I started this morning, you know, arguing with people that have no opinion whatsoever about... A good friend of mine compared James Harden to Tony Romo. He's a good friend of mine. I don't like him today. Tomorrow we'll be friends. So he's a Tony Romo.
We've gotten a couple of those texts and tweets already today.
Yeah. Oh, people, man. I mean, and people is just like, you know, if you're down with it, if I know you're a sports fan, like the callers that we hear, and guys like Craig Shelton, who I don't agree with a whole lot, but still, I respect Craig because he's been with it. His opinion qualifies because he puts it out there. But come on, man, don't come after the loss and go, what did you expect? These guys are the worst.
Well, we were talking about earlier, and these guys have kind of conditioned me because I've always been that guy that comes out just defensive if they're going to come at me. And even last night, what I started saying was, I get it, man. It's still so raw for you. So just let it simmer. When you get a chance to step away for a while and then you come back, then we can have a conversation. But like, people got all hot and bothered because last night, either SI or ESPN put out there that Harden's Gucci sweatshirt, you can have it for $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of stuff that people that listen to our show were like, just for the sake of knowing, we're like, God dang, a sweatshirt for $1,200. I got some guy calling, who the hell cares about what damn, how much it costs? We're talking about the fact that our best player crapped the bed. I go, bro, I get it. It's raw for you right now. The wound is still open. But just breathe.
But for the diehard fans, I don't mind. Like, I listen to sports radio, even when I'm out. I mean, I listen to you guys on the app. You know, I listen all the time. And guys are consistent with their opinions, even if they are negative opinions, and that's cool. But just people coming out of the woodwork on Facebook and on Twitter saying stuff about The Rock being from Houston. Oh, I knew they wouldn't win. How can you prove that? How can you prove to me right now that you knew 2 weeks ago that they weren't going to win when I look at your Twitter feed and all you're talking about is Young and Restless and fish stick dinners? Nothing. There's no indication of that.
Yeah.
As Barry will tell you, though, the one thing that at least we got in our corner is we have to be on point because we can go back and go, hey, pull that tape or go back on the podcast.
Right.
We said it. They don't.
I'm getting killed. So they just. I'm getting killed for my Toronto Raptors pick. I picked the Raptors to make it to the finals. I'm getting murdered for that.
Background singer. Background singer.
Nick, very well played.
What did he say, rightly so?
Background singer.
He said background singer.
Background singer. Hashtag. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. And I deserve that, but at least I was out there to make bold predictions. But Mark Berman tweeted this. I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on this. You mentioned a little bit in the Big Three with JB, but Daryl Morey, this is a quote from Mark Berman. We took a big step forward in our championship hopes. We improved by 14 wins. We really love this group. We feel like another year with this group, we're just going to get better. Now, they did better than last year. They did better than I thought. I had them finishing sixth. I didn't think they would get this far. They took the Spurs to overtime all that happened. Does he believe that? I mean, do you guys think he believes that they're that much closer? And do you think that they are?
Well, look, I'll turn it over to Billy. I'll just give you my quick, short version of it because Ryan Anderson already said, we're a championship-caliber team and we're starting with next season. You should have started with this season.
Yeah.
Because you only get so many chances to make the postseason and get this deep. But here's the other thing. Daryl may believe that, or Daryl may be just telling you that, just like he believed that it wasn't a successful season unless they got to the Final Four. But here's the thing. They're getting better. So are the Warriors.
That's the point. That's the point. He can say that they're getting better all day or that the chemistry is going to get better, but everybody else's chemistry is going to be a year better. KD's chemistry is going to be, a year better. I mean, I don't know. I think that we just should be happy with our team being the best background singers they can. Every now and then. Because it's ridiculous. Like, okay, honestly speaking, and I asked this question a couple of months ago, or weeks ago on my Facebook. Like, conceivably, like, what player could make this team better? Like realistically, we can't get Paul George because we can't squeeze him in, with the salaries that we have. That's just not going to happen unless, we lose half of what we have in order to get him. I mean, who would we be able to get? People go, hey, we need to get rid of Harden. We're going to replace him with who? Hey, we need to get rid of D'Antoni. Replace him with who? I mean, what player can we realistically?
Well, Joel and I both said this earlier before the trade deadline. And I still say it if they would go after him in the offseason, but Taj Gibson is a guy that makes this team better. I mean, he fills a lot of voids that they have and a lot of holes that they need filled. And I think if you had him in this series, what a difference that would make down low. What a huge difference. Not only that, defensively, rebounds.
Regardless if you lost Nene or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a guy I would love to see them, or someone like that. They don't need another scorer. They don't need another shooter. They need a guy that can do the dirty work, play the role of a defensive stopper and rebounder.
So here's the thing. I wouldn't say that they don't – in this offense, you could always use another shooter.
Oh, my God, no.
Yeah, I think from a starting lineup perspective, you still have that kind of loose cannon of, is Pat going to make his shot in the starting lineup? Is Trevor going to get enough clear open looks, right? So you can always use another shooter. But the key is going to be as much from a mental perspective as anything else. Everybody's saying to me, Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward will get chewed up and spit out by James Harden. You need a type A personality that's going to come in here that's going to say, look, James may speak his mind. James may bitch a lot. But guess what? I can do that too. And when it comes crunch time, I can still be the guy that takes the heat off of him. I can get us points. I can do some things too. And we can work together. It didn't work with Dwight. Dwight wasn't that guy. We knew Dwight was more worried about punching a guy in the grapes on the bench than he was about, going to work when he could have been the best player on the floor. So it's a very delicate balance. I think a guy like J.J. Redick is a great fit because I think J.J. Redick, through the Duke system, through the fact that he's been able to stick up to Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and be one of Doc's guys, he's looking to win. And so I think, too, the other thing you factor in is you mentioned Paul George, who I think would be a great fit. But he hasn't gotten that big payday yet to where he's probably the guy that says, I've made my money, now I want to chase that ring.
Right, exactly. Yes,
CP3 is a guy you got to watch because CP3 is a guy that could go to San Antonio in a couple places and go, I've made all the money, now I need to win to solidify my legacy, so he may take a little less. So those are some delicate idiosyncrasies to look at, like have they made enough money, can the Rockets afford them, and will they be able to fit in a personality regime in which James is so dominant and everyone that knows James gets first priority.
Right.
So that's what makes it difficult. And you know, everybody's looking, and of course, their first glance is, let's look at the top free agents that are out there.
Yeah.
You're not getting Blake Griffin. You're not getting Gordon Hayward. But you can conceivably get close to a max-type guy, but it's got to be the right fit.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, I'd like to talk about trading in some of these fans.
Okay.
Here's the thing, though.
Yeah. Like,
what are you getting in return?
That's what the problem is.
Okay.
The fans?
There's people that show up late, they have no value. They have none whatsoever.
Oh, that was the worst. A topic that's been kicked around all year by us.
Lamont and a few others were going in on me on Twitter, and I was like, I'm so conditioned to this, though. Like, this is just another... It's another end to a typical season. I don't know why people get so upset. Yeah. I really don't.
Yeah.
Like, this is what Houston sports is. To your point, the background singer thing, that's what we've been all along as a city. Just embrace it. Yeah. Everyone is so mad. Like, Chuck was mainlining heroin by the end of the game and almost wrecked into a tree. And it's like, Chuck, I get it, but... Dude, what do you expect?
And that's why Carlos Correa is not signing a long-term deal here, because he knows this is the city of the background vocalist.
And
ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do a costume change. Kyle Lowry on microphone number one. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we still got a half hour more of the show. So please let us know. We see Clarence on hold. We'll try and work you in. But if you want to chime in, at Billy Washington, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is Funny, the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Somehow, somewhere,
and no one cares. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Billy D. Washington has blessed us in studio for what has been a fantastic week as we head towards the 4 o'clock hour before we turn it over to Fred A.J. Jong and the Blitz. And I just want to say, as a show, we took a big step forward this year in our championship hopes. And we really believe that in the near future.
Even though we've only done, the best we've done is tied for third in ratings.
Yeah.
But you still know what? Let me tell you guys this.
You know, I'm proud of you guys. Like, seriously. I mean, let me tell you why. Because... like, radio personalities, like guys that used to be on radio, they don't particularly like comedians. Comedians don't particularly like radio dudes.
That's true.
Like, the radio dude always thinks the comedian is trying to come in and take his job. And the comedian is always thinking the radio dude is trying to be funnier than him. So it's not a natural thing. So for you guys to be able to make this work, you know, it's pretty cool. Because we've seen the archetypes before. You know, I've gone into the radio shows across the country. You know, you get the guy's been on radio since he was 15. He's worked his way all the way up. I don't know if you saw the thing on my Facebook this morning, but he's worked his way all the way up. He's finally there. And so all of a sudden you come in and he looks at you as a threat because he doesn't know how much money you make. He has no idea if you make more money than he does doing what you do. And with him being a radio dude. Yeah. So he comes in and maybe, you don't know, maybe he has a 15-year-old that still kind of pees in the bed. He thinks everybody knows, but nobody really doesn't. So he takes everything super personally. You know what I mean? His first name is Pete. You come in, you call him P. He's like, hey, I see what you're doing. Don't try to get in my head. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we don't know. If you guys make this work, it's not. So if you guys break up for whatever reason, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to be surprised because this is... This is so counterintuitive, man. I mean, not that you guys would break up because, you know, both of you guys have great teeth. You have glasses and stuff. So it makes sense on so many different levels, but it just doesn't for the comedian and the media guy to be able to, you know, coexist on one show. And to you two, I applaud you, Joel, because I come in. Sometimes I hate doing the show. Sometimes I've hated doing shows in this particular studio because when the comedian comes in, all I want to do is talk about comedy. Well, I'm a Houston sports fan first. I'd rather take L's on, you can talk about my sports takes all day long. But if you say I'm not funny, I will come and find you and kill your children. Because that just, well, not really. So don't. But I'm just saying, you know, thank you for allowing me to come in and not going, hey, so when'd you get started? Who's your, who's your favorite comedian, bro? I don't.
That's the worst.
And then every time I don't mention Richard Pryor in my top five, it becomes, you know, I'm all of a sudden the dude who has the 15-year-old peas in a bed. So I see what you're doing. So I'm just saying, I'm glad that it
we
works.
Appreciate
and,
that.
Yeah,
it sounds
you guys,
like it sounds like he's trying to take one of our jobs. I don't know
no,
which one.
No, man, I'm
kind of worried
you
about
know,
this
Nick,
right
he
now.
He's quarterback. I already you know, figured that out.
Nick is a great appendage to this. This group, I think it's amazing.
I think he
you
just
know?
Called you a penis.
No, I've been know, called, I'm telling I've
been,
you.
I was telling a story about how my grandfather used to call my grandmother Puss. That was his nickname for her. That's Nick's nickname now.
Oh, really?
Puss. Yeah.
So okay. Kinda, it's really not.
I see how you work that in there, Billy.
Hey, but
I see how you work.
Wait,
that
but
in.
Wait a minute. Do you know what the thing? You know the thing that they call like when the older people they have the thing that they
a
push
walker. A walker.
Yeah, but they don't call it the town. They call it a pushy. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, it is. No, hey, look it up. It's called a push. Be very careful. It's called a put your finger. Get the girl to dump it.
A pushy.
They call it a pushy, and I did not know
no,
this.
I do not.
You I, made I, that I, up. No, I was doing a show on a cruise ship. Old lady was on there. She's like, son, can you go in there and get my pushy? Was I that funny, ma'am? Seriously, I mean, you left it fell off possibly, and. And I didn't even. I just
and that's the one you put the fuzzy balls on the front.
Oh, see,
because of the fact that you got to have brakes on the.
You got to have brakes, and you know, and the walking stick.
I didn't know that
comes
there was that
play.
Name for it. But when my mom passed, we found like 16 of them. Because if she couldn't find it, we ain't looking for it. We're buying another one. That's what happened.
And then all of a sudden, you're buying pushy, and that's disturbing.
That could be
never pay for a pushy.
And yeah, don't get in a price war.
Somebody texted the show and said, "Hey, I know Barry and Joel won't get this, but tell Billy D. Washington I feel like Duck from the Five Heartbeats, and James Harden is JT, my big brother."
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I don't get it either. Hey, man, you know
I
what?
I knew what you were doing.
Here's
there.
The deal. Here's the deal. The pushy thing, my buddy Cowboy Bill Martin, if you get a chance, I don't know if you know Cowboy Bill, but I don't want to take credit for that because he turned me on to the whole pushy concept. I didn't know, so I didn't want to, you know, steal his thing. And,
right.
But it's Cowboy Bill's thing, but
okay.
Yeah, that's a different intro to it. Yeah, but Five Heartbeats, I hadn't seen it in 20 years, but I'm going to go back and look at it just because somebody
just
gave
to,
me credit.
Just to get the text.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All that's right. Funny. So you were saying before the break.
Sure.
You were talking about, you want to talk about trading some fans.
Bro, it's like... You know, I've gone to my daughter used to be a dancer for the Rockets, and yep. She was a dancer for the Spurs. And I just remember going to games. Like, we'd pay to go to games. Like, the ticket, sometimes she couldn't get tickets. Like, her tickets weren't very good, you know, bless her heart. And I love that organization, whatever. But for me to get there early, and she would always go, "Dad, if you're going to come, get there early because it's a problem. People don't, you know, show up early and whatever." I just don't understand how people can, you can look at these other NBA games and these home games, and as soon as the feed comes on from ESPN or TNT and whatever, these places are packed. And I know there's traffic pretty much everywhere. And like Houston is a top 10 media market. I get that. But still, you know, there are other cities that are bigger cities that have traffic problems or whatever. And people manage to get there on time. I just think that it does something in terms of the momentum of the game. It's like if you want to give your team the best opportunity to win. If I had game 6 playoff tickets, I'm asking them when the door is open.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to try and be there as soon as I can just to give the team a push, man.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me, and the it seems like the fans here in this city, for the most part, they love to bitch about the teams. They love to, but the support is, and we're gonna get a ton of emails and texts and tweets. It's too expensive to go, but you know what? Like just in general, the support of this team, it seems like it's like I'll give you an example. Last week I was in San Antonio. I was at the River Center Improv, so I'm downtown. While the Rockets are on the road in San Antonio, were they here? I think they might
Rockets
have been here.
Were here.
Yeah, Rockets were here.
When it was the game. It was the game that the Spurs won on the road. That first game they won on the road, and I was leaving the River Center Improv, and downtown San Antonio is going nuts. Mm. People are honking. There's cars wrapped in the Spurs logo, with people hanging out the window. People going up, high fiving each other, like. That's what those fans ride or die with the Spurs no matter what, and they're there early. They stay to the end. I mean, Houston sports fans are wishy-washy at best for the most part.
But like, they're sensitive.
The ones who buy tickets are the ones.
Even
who,
the ones that you get tickets, why would you not show up?
That's my point.
Like, why would you?
Why not
go?
Be there for the whole experience? And then some of those same fans leave early.
Yeah.
But Billy,
I don't get it.
They're sensitive.
I mean, last night I did leave early.
To Barry's point about being sensitive, you hit it right on the button, too. And Nick and I, all year long, I would say, look, it's another game where people are dressed up like their favorite empty seat because the lower bowl is – and you know what? They just come out of the woodwork. Man, you don't know what it's like to go through traffic. You don't know what it's like to go through parking. You don't know what it's like – you know what? I know what it's like to grow up in a city where when that – my favorite team in any one of the big three sports took the field, we were already there before they were done with warm-ups. Because
right.
we weren't going to miss a single bit of the action.
Right.
And I know internally it's a huge issue. I know that they're sitting there trying to force people into their seats. They tried to bribe people in the playoffs with this dollar hot dog nacho beer thing for an hour. Last night, we didn't even know about it. I found out after the fact that they didn't do the media push this time because it was so blatant. But for an hour, they did it again, trying mm-hmm. to get people in their mm-hmm. seats. And then I saw national media tweeting, come on, Houston, it's game six.
I know.
Yeah, where
I know.
Are you people?
Yeah, I know.
Somebody wanted to know, does Medicare cover pushy?
Hey, man, I'm out of that. I'm out of the pushy conversation. I'm going to slip up in a minute, man.
Somebody say Houston needs to trade Harden for as many first-round draft picks as they can, specifically to the one team picking up the top three this year. No. Again, that's just not one of those things you do. I mean, that's like there's talk right now of trading J.J. Watt. At some point, sure, maybe in the NFL, that's one of the things you do. But in the NBA, that's not something you see a lot where you trade stars like that. And
unless he had a lot of young talent already around him. But
yeah. Here's the thing: we talked about general manager of the year candidates last year and who should get credit. Part of the reason why you get credit is because between the ebbs and flows and the roller coaster ride, it's not that big of a difference. So Danny Ainge got credit because the Celtics. From the decline of the big three to the rise of Isaiah Thomas and company, there wasn't that much of a downtime. As much as I kept telling you, enjoy the ride this season, that ride won't be there if you trade James Harden. You're going to have a downtime for a couple years, and then you got to groom these young kids that come in younger and younger.
See the Astros.
Exactly. Yeah. And understand, there's going to be some 100 lost seasons in baseball to put it in perspective before you see the promised land again.
Last year, I was in Charlotte for the Hornets playoffs, and that's place started filling up at 5:30 and was rocking the whole time. So, exactly. I mean, you can make the excuses that, it's not like there are a lot of places fill up early. And then last text before we go to break, I'd wrap my car in Rockets gear if they were as good as the Spurs have been the last 20 years. All right, fair point.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, I was actually going to mention that. I don't know if the Spurs are used to losing. Spurs fans, they're not used to losing.
But I can give you the top four home court advantages in the league because of the fact that they show up early, stay late, cheer loud, do all those things. Some of them may surprise you. But I'm telling you what, the passion level and the players notice. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Really?
All right, yep. We got one segment left to go before we wrap it up. It's a great Friday right here. It's an F yeah Friday right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Billy D. Washington joining us on a Friday along with Nick, Barry, and Joel, The Usual Suspects, till 4 as we wrap up the final segment before we turn it over to the Blitz. And we were talking about a ton of stuff before the break, and not the least of which was just the lack of fandemonium in this town, although just like everything else, the defensiveness of the people that are the same people that just aren't showing up for the games. Yeah. And again, last night, look, I didn't have to do it. I was just retweeting because the national media was all over it going, come on, this is game six, do or die, must win, no one's there. And I'm just for retweeting it, I got people coming at me going, man, we had to fight through traffic. We had to fight through the pack. Plan ahead.
Yeah.
You know it's not going to be easy. It's still not New York or L.A. You can plan ahead. There's ways to get there if it was big of a deal to you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, of course.
I've said the top four teams that I've ever seen in traveling the league, but the craziest to me, and people don't understand this, in OKC, not only are they there 15 minutes before tip-off, they do a group prayer at 7.
What?
They do a group prayer at 7, then they do intros, then they do the game. You never have a problem with every one of those seats filled up. It's crazy.
That is legit Bible Belt stuff right
there.
No question. If they are praying before a game as a crowd.
Yeah.
Wow. If they can get there on time in Detroit, and Detroit is a predominantly black town.
Yep.
If the black people can show up, let me tell you something. And like, y'all know about, you know about the black, sorry, the black late thing.
It's, oh, yeah. No, I'm very aware of
it. No idea what you're talking about.
But it's scientific. You guys think that it has something to do with something else that's cold? No, it's, see, the melanin in the skin affects the battery in the watch. See, it makes it weaker. So essentially, the darker you are, the later you're going to be.
The worse your
Is that a science?
Every coop.
Oh, yeah. No,
is it still
Ben Carson,
a half hour?
Ben Carson came. Yeah, he wrote a magazine about it. No, go ahead.
Is it still a half hour?
No, it depends on what watch
that window?
You, yeah, yeah, how the watch, you okay. know, yeah. how big the watch is.
Billy was going to be here at 1:30 for the show.
1:30. Yeah. And look what happened. Yeah, 2:30. Yesterday. And hey, and here I am.
Yesterday.
Hey, I'd like to, before y'all cut me off again, hey, uh-oh, can I, I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers coming up this weekend. You know, I don't know if my mom is listening. She may be, and my wife and whatever, and the mothers out there. And thank you for everything that you do, and, you know.
And I just want to say happy birthday to you, because your birthday is the 17th, you told me?
On Mother's Day.
On Mother's Day.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you, man.
And you're 29 again, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Shoot.
You know what they say, black don't crack. Brown don't frown, and white stay tight if you sew it up right. No, that's ridiculous. I should have said that. Hey, can you delete that?
Is that on my shirt?
No, that's yeah.
Now, are you going to Chris Rock? Because you said you might be going.
Well,
I'm
going to Chris Rock tonight.
I tried to get credentials. That's how cheap I am,
bro. Oh, I'm going as a background singer. And I don't have a problem with it. You know? Yeah, man.
I would love to go to that show.
It's going
to
be fun. I think Chris Spencer and I heard Hannibal Buress was doing some dates with him.
Really?
I don't know for sure, but I'm just saying what I heard. I have no idea.
A second date. So he's out at the Smart Financial Center tonight and tomorrow night.
Tonight and tomorrow night. Yeah, because he had to add tonight because I wanted to go tomorrow night, but I had stuff to do.
Yeah.
All right, Nick says we got to get some calls in so you can take some calls with us. So Clarence is one of our all-time favorites, and he's chiming in. Clarence, what's up?
Sure.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Clarence?
No. First of all, y'all are the number one show on radio. I don't care what nobody else says.
Thank you, Clarence. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I agree.
I was up there listening to some of the things y'all were saying, and one, y'all were totally right about this wishy-washy, this fandom. I mean, you got 7 minutes to go left in the fourth quarter. You don't know what could happen. The Rockets could have went off with three-pointers. You look in the fans, half the stadium was gone, and the other half started switching to the Astros jerseys. and then the thing I got to say about the Rockets is, I don't know what the hell happened. They're missing their top two players on the team. I mean, that's like going into the beginning of the fourth quarter with a 25-point lead. I'm not saying any teams are not. You're supposed to go out there and win that, but I don't even know what happened. And, people are saying they need to add another player. No, they were good with what they had. They just, I don't know what happened. They choked it up or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's the right word, Clarence, choke. Now, Clarence, I got to ask, where the hell are you, dude?
I was going to say.
It sounds like Darth Vader is in the background taking orders at Wendy's or something. Where the hell
last
are you
time
at,
it was
Clarence?
The gym. The other time it was the car.
I am at the gym.
You're at the gym right now. Are you literally doing leg presses while you were calling us? Is that what I hear clinking in the background?
I'm doing overheads, but yeah.
Clarence, you're a wild man, dude. Have a good weekend.
Hey, man, have a great weekend, Clarence. We appreciate it, as always. And let's just keep rolling so that we don't miss anybody. Reggie wants to get back in here for the Rockets offseason. What's up, Reg?
Yeah, how you doing? Yo, this is Reggie. I was calling to see what could the Rockets do to be better? Like, how could they top this season? Like, could they make trades in the offseason? Serge Ibaka, do you think they attract him to the team? Or somebody like Brook Lopez to defend the post or score in the post? What would they make?
Well, we covered a lot of this in the last couple segments, Reggie. We mentioned some of the potential candidates and some of the free agent guys. I mean, you mentioned some new names. Brook Lopez signed a long-term extension. He costs a lot of money, and he doesn't get a lot of rebounds, but he's an offensive center. Yeah, trades are always possible, but you got to make sure you better your team in doing so, and you're not giving away guys that have made you the team that you are right now. That's just my take on it.
And isn't the honest answer, our best hopes of moving forward is that it's for other teams to get worse. I hate to say that, but the best hope for us to, like, you know, really advance is for somebody else to get hurt.
Well, you want Golden State and Cleveland to potentially take a step back, but I would say the answer to that question is you want your best player to mature and get better. And that doesn't necessarily, maybe that's on the defensive end, yes, but more so than anything else, that could be between the ears too.
Yeah, you're right, but I don't care. I have no integrity in terms of wanting another team's player to get hurt. I don't care. I don't want him to die. I don't want to be career ending. I mean, if he could have a great regular season, make his money. If it's a contract year, maybe not. But yeah. if he's on first year of a good contract, and, you know, and Clay wants to, you know, I don't know, knock out have a hernia or something, hemorrhoids would be preferable.
Yeah.
So you're the guy that when Tony Parker went down, hey, Rockets fans, great news. Tony Parker out for the year.
You saw the post.
Yeah.
I didn't see your post. I heard other stations actually with that glee in their voice saying that.
Because it wasn't serious. Like, but an injury like Kawhi's injury, like, it's not, it could be, you know, remember when, like, last year when Steph was kind of gimped with the thing? Yeah. You know, not career, not, you know, torn whatever or fractured something, but just pulled something just for that last couple of, I'm good with that. I there's no shame in my game. I'm ready to get
absolutely
there, man.
There's not.
Just wishing injuries. Yeah. All right, I see how it is.
Have you guys run it all? Just last thing. I want to ask you. I thought about it yesterday. I just want to ask you. Have you ever, like, been running outside and then you spit but don't hear the spit hit the ground?
No,
I got headphones on.
That's happened to me before. Right, I know what you're talking about.
And then you keep running.
And you're worried that it hit you.
Yeah. No, but then you realize later on that it's just on the, like, on the back of your neck, and you're like, how long have I been walking around with some spit on the back of my neck? I'm not. My wife saw it. She's like, wow, that's some weird sweat.
and God forbid it was the cotton mouth spit, because then it's kind of got a certain look to it.
That's why I wasn't concerned, because I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it hit the ground. So I was like, it must have been some, you know, really light saliva that. I'm sorry.
Oh God!
I just wanted
so
to ask you.
Funny.
That's,
yeah,
that's
that is so funny. No, I haven't done that. I haven't spit on myself.
I didn't. First of all, the germaphobe. Just, if he had, he knows where every bit of spit goes, because it dang well better not be on him.
Oh, that's too funny.
All right, well, that puts the wraps on another great show. Billy D, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, happy Mother's Day to you guys, too, man. You guys, great parents and stuff. So I think both genders should get...
Cats.
Nope. I think we should get... You know, you got cats, but we should get credit for both. Everybody, the women should get credit for Father's Day and Mother's Day. The men should get credit for Mother's Day and Father's Day.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Okay.
It's not.
That's okay.
I take care of my daughter every morning.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, that's what Father's Day is for. You can't. Why are you trying to get it?
I'm trying to take all of that.
You just don't want to buy presents.
Women want
some of the credit for Father's Day. You know, so why can't men get some of the credit for Mother's Day?
Well, can we get some more gifts?
Yeah. Single.
All right.
They're single. You're not.
Yeah, because it's not nearly as painful as what they say it is.
All right. Send all the text, tweets, and hate.
Yeah, that's going to go over like a fart in church, ladies and gentlemen.
Billy Washington on Twitter. Billy, thank you for being here, man.
Hey, thank you guys, man. I appreciate it.
All right, guys, real quick before we go, I want to tell you about Gulf State Home Buyers. If you need to sell your home and you need to do so quickly, the folks over at Gulf State Home Buyers will tell you, no problem, we'll buy it, and we'll make you a cash offer. If you're trying to get out from under your house and you need to do so in a hurry because you got back taxes or delinquent HOA dues, divorce, bankruptcy, maybe you're going through a foreclosure, maybe you're even unemployment, and this is all preventing you from selling your home, give Gulf State Home Buyers a call, 281-717-6100, and let them help you. They make you a cash offer. They handle all the paperwork from the beginning of the process all the way to the ending of the closing. So sit back, relax, let them do the work for you. They have attorneys, title companies, a whole in-house staff that's going to take care of you and show you a stress-free way to sell your home. But you have to call them, 281-717-6100. Get a clear understanding of what's going on in your situation right now, whether it's title issues or you just need that quick closing. They'll help you, but you got to call them. Gulf State Home Buyers, 281-717-6100, or hit them up on the web, gulfstatehomebuyers.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, Give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.